You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Austin Price, and I am being joined by Woody Waters. Woody, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. So, okay, we're gonna dive right in here because not only is that the appropriate thing to do in this situation, but also pretty strapped for time. We just had the glass half full with Jordan Glass just moments ago, so we're diving right in here. Not a moment to spare. So, all right, there's obviously, you can see, Woody, that I've got a lot of stuff set up here because there is a lot to break down, surprisingly, after a 63-0 win over Western Kentucky. I'm assuming you watched a game being a Bama guy.
I did.
First impressions. I know there's only so much to take away from a season opening home win, smaller school, but nonetheless, what do you got?
I was pleased in what I saw, especially on the defense. That was my big concern because they lost so many from last year. But from what I saw, the style of play, the attacking part of it, it's a change in Alabama's defense. And I thought it went over really well.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's people talk about Western Kentucky. I just introduced them as a smaller school. However, I think they won like 8 games last year, and they're not. You know, we saw a lot of teams out here playing smaller schools. Ole Miss played Furman, Arkansas played Pine Bluff, and you know, so on and so forth. We'll get onto their Week 1 performances later. But Alabama at least played an FBS school, Group of 5 level that's been competitive. And yeah, 63-0. That's about as much as you can make a win over Western Kentucky mean.
Oh, yeah. And Western Kentucky, as you said, is not a bad football team. They're going to win some games this year.
Right.
But, you know, I thought Alabama on both sides of the ball showed a tremendous amount of potential.
Yes, and that's the thing. Yeah, I love how you mentioned both sides of the ball because I've got some offensive statistics here that I jotted down. In this 63-0 win, Jalen Milroe, he had 3 passing touchdowns on just 2 incompletions, 5 touchdowns in total. And this is including passing and rushing, 279 total yards. Not only that, running back Justice Haynes on 4 carries had not just a touchdown, but over 102 yards. And then this is a guy that we're really going to talk about a lot today, Ryan Williams. 2 catches, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he is 17 years old.
Any special?
Yeah, it's hard to say he's not.
He is a talented talent. I mean, he's – how many 17-year-olds can make the transition from high school to college on a grand level?
Right. I mean, at Alabama, no less. And just such an offensively efficient performance by all of these guys here. I'm not much of a Jalen Milroe guy. We had Paul Tripoli on last week, and I was talking to him about it. I just – you know – Jalen Milroe, the story about him last year was, okay, he kind of looks decent. You're not gonna suck if you play at Alabama. But I didn't really buy him as like some standout QB. And then as we get through the season, he kind of starts to ball out a bit. Alabama catches some speed, and he starts getting a bit more vocal. He wears that shirt saying, let a naysayer know, as you know, it was portrayed in the media. It's like he started kind of like hyping up this underdog story. And then, of course, against Michigan, it kind of stalled out. But that was the end of the season anyway, so, you know, it was going to. The thing is, Jalen Milroe, we got Paul's thoughts on him last week. What do you think?
I think he's still got some growth to go. I mean, he has tremendous potential.
Right.
If he will continue to improve on his reads and you know, that continues to improve, I think the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, and I definitely see his athleticism. As I said, you're not going to be a bad player if you're at the University of Alabama. That's just not going to happen. And this was a great performance from him coming straight out of the gate this season. The only doubts I would still have are the game that really turned people on to, okay, where's Alabama's limits? Where's Milroe's limits? Was last year they hosted Texas. Texas was a playoff caliber team, obviously, and they kind of had Milroe running for his life, so to speak, you know, kind of scrambling around, panicking a bit more, and the offense just looked all in all a bit more spastic. So that's where I'm kind of questionable with Milroe. It's like, okay, when you start playing higher-level opponents, when you start playing on bigger stages, when you start playing teams that have defenses that are all the more likely to get up in your face, a.k.a. not Western Kentucky, I would like to see how he adapts to that. But back to this Ryan Williams kid. He's 17 years old, as we discussed. Just for the folks who aren't mathematicians out there, that means he was born in 2007. He was born a month, give or take, after Saban took the Alabama job. Now, I'm 23, so I was a youngin' myself when Saban took the job at Alabama. But I cannot imagine someone bawling out like this, already showing, hey, I'm going to be playing on Sundays. I can't imagine that. That is just insane to me.
I don't know that I've ever seen – well, I hadn't. I hadn't seen a kid go to Alabama and at 17 years old start, much less do the things that he's already done.
Right.
He's a phenom.
And, you know, I think if anyone were to – question him, it would probably be his size. He's around 6 foot-ish, 6 foot 1, around 175 pounds. However, Devontae Smith was 6 feet tall, 170 pounds. People thought he was lanky on the sideline, didn't look like he had much to him, and he won a Heisman. So clearly being undersized anywhere doesn't mean too much, but at Alabama, it doesn't hold you back at all. So that's the thing. I look at this game against Western Kentucky. It only tells us so much. But 63-0, the offensive efficiency, the young talent that we saw ball out. There's not much more you can ask from Alabama in a win like that. I think we're going to – of course, they've got – and we mentioned this last week because their schedule is going to start out relatively simple. They got USF this weekend. We'll touch on that in a bit. But they're really not going to dive headfirst into a challenge until they go to Wisconsin. Wisconsin kind of struggled a bit against Western Michigan. And then they've got Georgia off a bye week, and that's when we really get cooking. So Alabama, man, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. As I said, I think it's about as meaningful of a win as you could have over the Hilltoppers. And, I mean, that means a lot coming from me. I told Paul last week I'm not much of an Alabama guy, personally. I'm decked out in Wake Forest gear right now, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, looking at Alabama, I saw a takeaway on social media that said they're same old Bama. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's a bit of a stretch? Because same old Bama involves Nick Saban, and he ain't there.
No, he's not there, but they got the key guys on in a leadership role that was there under Saban. And the mindset, as I understand it in Tuscaloosa right now, is that it's us against the world mentality. And I think that group is dead set on showing the world what they can do.
Well, and that's the thing. It's interesting to hear that about Alabama of all teams. You know, as you said, us against the world, kind of like a, like, not, I don't want to say a bounce back story because they weren't really down and out or anything. But people do doubt you, of course, when you lose one of the greatest coaches of all time, arguably the greatest. Paul and I had a discussion about that last week. But when it comes to Alabama and them saying, as you said, us against the world, yada yada yada, that's the message Milroe tried to send. Especially with people saying they didn't deserve to be in the playoff and yada, yada, yada. Michigan looking like the team to beat, and Michigan and Washington both being unbeaten, Texas beating them. So Alabama's been trying to really play with that chip on their shoulder. And now this did look like they were trying to let off some steam. It looked like they were trying to send a message, even though it was just Western Kentucky. They were trying to say, hey, look, we haven't gone anywhere. We're still a competitor. And dare I say, I mean, would I be insane, and I want your thoughts on this, would I be insane to say Alabama coming off a bye in Tuscaloosa against the Georgia Bulldogs, that's not a promised win for Georgia, is it?
No. It should be a great ball game. I will be there in person to see it. But, you know, it's not impossible. That's for sure.
You're going to be there in person?
Yep.
I mean, I've never been to Bryant-Denny. I know they bring the house down. And I know Alabama and Georgia is typically a good fight, but you know, I can always appreciate the scenery of a great football game, but But I got to tell you, I don't envy you. I wouldn't want to be there. That sounds like a madhouse. I think there'd be ringing in my ears, and it's going to be shoulder to shoulder in there. That's going to be unbelievable.
It will probably be, and I've been to a lot of big games in Bryant-Denny. It will probably be epic, to say the least.
Right, because it's not just a legacy game for Alabama and the players on this team and Kalen DeBoer, but it's a legacy game for Georgia, too. Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart's legacy right now is, I can't beat Saban. That's what it looks like. That's why Saban, he's part of the game day crew, obviously, on Saturdays, and he said that he has Georgia as the team to beat because we got to see somebody beat Georgia. Since 2020, the COVID year, there's only been one team to beat Georgia, and it's Alabama. Mm-hmm. And when the staple of that team is gone, it does. It's like, okay, well, then until further notice, we have to logically assume Georgia's unbeatable. Well, if they go into Tuscaloosa and they lose this game, it's going to be like a Ryan Day against Michigan situation. It's like, if you can't beat this team at this point, heck, when can you?
That's right. I mean, Alabama's been able to beat Georgia where nobody else has.
Right.
And, but, I mean, you're talking the same coaching philosophy coming from Kirby. Kirby's a great coach, super coach.
Absolutely.
You know, next to Saban, he's probably next.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Right now, I mean, with Saban out of the way, Kirby is the best coach mm-hmm. in the country. I do believe that.
Oh, yes.
Especially when you look at, okay, Kalen DeBoer, he had a couple of good years at Washington. He had one great one. Mm-hmm. It's like, now he's at Alabama. Let's wait to see how he does there before we start saying anything drastic. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. Man, a few years ago, you were competing with Georgia. It was a national title winning Georgia against a 3-loss Clemson, if memory serves me. That final was 10-3. You play them again last weekend, it's 34-3. You're not even coming close to touching Georgia anymore, and that's due to several things. But Dabo himself and his stubbornness with the transfer portal and so on and so forth has definitely sped that up, enraged that a bit, that gap. So Dabo's out. I would have to say Kirby's probably the best coach in America until further notice. So if he goes into Tuscaloosa and can't win, then I don't know where that leaves Georgia. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you finish the regular season and your only loss is to Alabama on the road, and it would probably be a close game, well, you're still going to be a playoff team. You're still going to be a favorite. But it's the principle. How are you supposed to say, oh, yes, we completely dominated the SEC if this one team has your knees buckling every time you face them? You just can't have that.
That's one point. But in this application this year, I think Alabama and Georgia will play each other again. I think they'll see each other in somewhere in the playoffs.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, not only playoffs, but we have to consider SEC title game as well. SEC's dropping divisions. Or has dropped divisions, I should say. The season has already begun. But that I think, is one of the best things that could ever happen for Bama in this situation, because that's how it used to be. The SEC West division was tougher than the SEC East, and if they lost to LSU, it wouldn't take much for them, to make it to the SEC title game. If you got past Bama, whether you were Auburn or LSU, it was a small step beyond that to get to the SEC title game. Now Bama doesn't have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about their division holding them back. Mm-hmm. So, there's a good chance we could see these teams face off three times a year if they play in the regular season.
It's possible.
Absolutely. Let's see. It is 10:15. We will take a quick break. When we return, we've already talked enough about Western Kentucky. I think I have squeezed out every ounce of conversation I can get from the Hilltoppers possible. When we return, we'll talk about the next game, USF. A lot of people would say this is a gimme, but last year it wasn't for one reason or another. We'll dig into why that was the case, and we'll try to convince ourselves that USF has a chance here. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show, brought to you by Ace Hardware over in Cantonment. And this is ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Touchdown! Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Wingman Grill, Pensacola's newest restaurant and sports bar, is finally open and ready for football season.
Watch your favorite game in one of their 20 large screen TVs while you enjoy your favorite wings, steaks, and seafood. You'll love their new blueberry chipotle barbecue. Weekly specials include free delivery Thursdays, 99-cent wing Wednesdays, and kidsy free on Monday. The drivers have base passes so they can deliver right to the barracks on Corey and NAS. WingmanGrill.com for delivery or dine in next to Pete Moore on the west side.
With NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you can watch every game, every Sunday, all in one place. Which means you can watch the Dolphins, and the Broncos, and the Lions, and the Cowboys, and the Jets. Or whoever you're rooting for, all in your living room. But not literally, of course. That would be dangerous. Watch every game, every Sunday, with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. Sign up at youtube.com/NFLST. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Joe Fallon's bedroom mini fridge. Sure, this pint-sized chiller's max capacity is 3 soda cans, but what it lacks in stature, it makes up in cooling strength. Each beverage a perfect 37 degrees every time. And the 2 feet Joe walks to get a drink? Priceless. That's why his mini fridge is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Okay, here are three important reasons why your son or daughter should play a sport in high school.
Number one.
High school sports teach valuable life lessons like self-discipline and time management skills.
Two.
Teens who play a high school sport have better grade point averages.
And number three.
High school sports are safer than ever before.
This message presented by the Florida High School Athletic Association and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Children, senior citizens, and families right here in Northwest Florida are hungry. And for more than 40 years, Manna Food Bank has provided food assistance to neighbors in need. Manna distributes healthy groceries through its emergency food assistance pantry, plus 17 food security programs with 22 community partners. For more information, please visit mannahelps.org or call 850-432-2053. Manna, moving our neighbors in need from hunger to hope.
Hurricane season is here, and when the next storm approaches, you'll want to tune into our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, your source for the most up-to-date and accurate hurricane and severe weather coverage. News Radio Pensacola will have wall-to-wall coverage of the storm, tracking its path, reporting on evacuations, power outages, and any damage to our community. They'll have the latest forecasts, emergency instructions, and updates on recovery efforts. Stay informed with News Radio Pensacola's comprehensive hurricane coverage, now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, online at newsradio923.com, or on their mobile.
We are your home for the area high school game of the week, ESPN Pensacola.
Welcome back to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. On ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price here alongside Woody Waters. Now, Woody, we've been talking a lot about Alabama and Western Kentucky. And as I said before we went to break, we got about as much out of that as we could. Alabama fired on all cylinders offensively, shut them out defensively. That's all you can ask for. Next up, USF. And someone who doesn't know ball, as some people would say, would argue that this is going to be an easy-going game.
Don't think so.
But not necessarily.
No. South Florida's going to come in with a mindset that they're going to try to win the football game. But on the second hand, on the other side of the fence, Alabama didn't play close to good last year down there. So I think the mentality on Alabama's side is their intent to show, you know, to make a better showing than they made last year.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a super game.
Well, and that's the thing. USF, you know, because I kind of joke around acting like this is going to be some nail biter. But USF has proven, yeah, last year they weren't a joke. I understand that Alabama, they were on the road. It was inclement weather. It was right after losing to Texas. They had quarterback switching throughout the game. I get all of that. And I get that they still won by double digits officially. What was the final? 17-3?
I think so.
Right? So I understand that. But USF, I mean, this is not the USF that we've seen recently. USF, just a couple of years ago, was, oh my gosh, they were unwatchable. They won, what, one game? And now they're already a winning program again. They made a bowl, and they faced Syracuse, Power 5 team, or Power 4, I should say, and won, what was it, 45-0. They just punched their ticket out of the season. I mean, great, great note to end on. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed on social media, I don't know how active you are on there, but I've noticed the USF Barstool, their account's kind of jawing a bit. I mean, the people who run those accounts are paid to, but they're taking a lot of shots saying, hey, come on, we're out for blood, man. We're looking to get that win that we should have gotten last year. That's USF's edge in this. And I'm just going to ask you, and this can be a simple answer, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the likelihood is USF gets to win? I'm sure they're going to give it their all. Don't get me wrong. But in Tuscaloosa,
about a 3.
A 3. Wow, a 3. I think a lot of people would be saying 0. So that's pretty optimistic. That's how you know we're unbiased here, because this is a pro-Bama show, and he just gave them a 30% chance to win. I don't know what ESPN Analytics has, but I can't imagine it's that much. I mean, I'll say 2, sure. Why not? You know, I'd love to see an upset, regardless of who's on the winning or losing end. But USF, just when you consider all that had to go their way that made the game more chaotic last year, even though Alabama won by double digits, obviously that was nowhere near their standard. So you know Alabama's going to be out for blood. They probably circled this game. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they did, because they probably knew, hey, listen, this is the game that really made people stop believing in us, right? It's one thing to lose to Texas when you knew Texas was good. It's another thing to be in a dog match with USF when it seems like they had stunk. So I understand why people would be eager to say, okay, let's go out there and remind everyone that we're still a competent program and really make an example out of the Bulls. I thought they were trying to make an example out of Western Kentucky. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another shutout here by Alabama, if their defense against the Hilltoppers was at all indicative of what they can do.
I'm hoping we'll see that, you know, because this new scheme, that defensive scheme that Alabama's running, there's a tremendous amount of speed involved with the players they've got playing right now. And so I think that we may see another game similar to what we saw last week.
Right. And that's the thing. USF, people are going to say the same thing about that one as they will about the Western Kentucky one. Oh, it's a small school. You're at home. It's early season. It doesn't matter. That's not true. If you're facing back-to-back winning Group of Five programs to start the season, and you win while looking half as good as you did against Western Kentucky, you can't really fault Alabama for that. I mean, you got to give them credit where it's due here. They got their FCS team late in the season. They play Mercer, but it's between road games against LSU and Oklahoma, so I'm sure people aren't going to complain too much about that. But if your first three games are against FBS programs, and then after USF you go to Wisconsin, I mean, that's not too bad. Alabama used to get a lot of hate for refusing to go on the road, truly, on the road to a big name. Wisconsin's one of the most consistent teams of the last 20 years, and you're going on the road after facing back-to-back Group of Five programs. Not bad, if you ask me. But, you know, there's going to be the haters. There's going to be the doubters. At that point, you just got to do the best you can. I will say, we were talking about Bama's offensive prowess and how it could very well shine against South Florida here. I wanted to ask your thoughts on the rest of the SEC, because it was like it was big enough that it was a headline on ESPN. I remember it being on the crawl. At the bottom of the screen, they were talking about, oh, man, the offensive firepower that this conference has. Ole Miss dominated. Arkansas dominated. Both of those teams, Auburn, all of them broke 70 points. So then you bring in Alabama 63-0 over an FBS school. Do you think this is all just easy pickings early in the season, or is there actually some validity to this new offensive wave coming throughout the Southeastern Conference?
Well, I didn't get a chance to watch. I watched a little bit of the Arkansas game, so I really can't comment too much about that one. But, no, I think this conference this year, especially at Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze at Auburn, has picked up some good offensive talent. They probably got the best wide receivers they've had there in a long time. And, you know, if that quarterback can get on key, they can score some points. But, you know, Lane at Ole Miss, he's brought in a bunch of firepower.
Right.
And he saw that. I mean, we saw that last week. But, again, we've saw all what we saw last week against some weaker teams.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think there's going to be that much domination when they really get into the meat of their schedule, especially playing each other in the SEC.
Right. No, and that's, as you said, that's a given. Because, you know, I think Ole Miss, for example, will use them because you mentioned Lane Kiffin. But not only that, I believe, unless I'm forgetting something, they scored the most in their opening game of all the SEC teams. Ole Miss, we knew they were going to be good. Number six preseason, coming off an 11-win season. They don't have to play Alabama this regular season, so they're thinking they're lucky stars for divisions being dropped. But when you look at how well they did, yeah, obviously they're not going to do that great against. I think they played Georgia well into the season. I think Georgia had their way with the Rebels last year. It was unbelievable. But, yeah, so when you look at Ole Miss, they're a great team. All of these teams are offensively sound. I will give Ole Miss credit, though. 76-0. If you had to beat Furman, that's the score to do it by. I would fall, because you could beat Furman 45-6 and nobody would bat an eye. Like, pretty average games. I mentioned earlier I'm a Wake Forest guy. We beat North Carolina A&T to open the season 45-13. Average win over an FCS school. You know, offensively sound, beat them by a lot. No one would bat an eye at that. 76-0. And then Arkansas scoring 70. They scored on every offensive possession. That's efficiency that I don't really care who you are. When you've got pregame jitters and, you know, you're just coming into the season, it's a new year, new you, whatever, and you're playing a team, they may be smaller, but they know how to play football. Come on. Mm-hmm. But you're still scoring on every possession. That's pretty impressive. So Alabama's definitely going to have some tough competition. I think they're very lucky to be able to say they don't play Ole Miss or Auburn this year, considering that Arkansas. Alabama doesn't play Arkansas this year either. Arkansas almost beat the Tide last season. And that kind of brings me to looking at the schedule again, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it because it's very similar to what I talked to Paul about a week prior. Alabama, even with how brutal their schedule is, they've got some breaks, it seems. Mm-hmm. Very well-placed bye weeks. No Ole Miss. But they still have – what do we have here? At Wisconsin, number one Georgia, at number 15 Tennessee, at number 13 LSU. Some of these rankings may have changed since the AP has since come out, but bear with me. And at number 16 Oklahoma. That's what it looked like going into this season. That's unbelievable.
That's a tough stretch.
Right. And Oklahoma's on the road in Norman right before the Iron Bowl, and Auburn always gives the Tide a scare. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely a brutal schedule. For Alabama to be able to say, hey, that Arkansas team we beat by a field goal, we're lucky to not play them this year. That Ole Miss team that won 11 games and just dropped 76, we're lucky to not play them this year. The fact that Alabama can still look at a bright side after a slate like this is unbelievable. So how well are you familiar with Alabama's schedule? Do you know who they face?
Yes.
I was about to say, if not, it's okay. I'm not trying to expose you here because we've got the 12 teams here, and we've got them in order. If you've looked at the schedule, just give me a ballpark. How do you think Alabama's going to do? What do you think? Not like a ceiling floor thing, but just what do you think is an adequate prediction?
You mean record-wise?
Yes.
I think they, obviously, as a super Alabama fan, I would tell you they'd go undefeated, but being reasonable about it, I'm saying there's a possibility they could lose one ball game.
Yeah, Paul said 10-2. I've actually got them officially here at 9-3. And that would probably be on the lower end of what some people would say, because I think I wrote out these predictions before Western Kentucky. I've got the losses being to Georgia, at LSU, and at at LSU and Auburn. Those are the three losses I have. So Georgia, LSU, Auburn. Those are losses that I don't think anyone would bat an eye at. That still gives you road wins over Tennessee, Oklahoma. You've got a homecoming win over Mizzou, assuming that I'm right. So it's still a very great season. So let me ask you this. Obviously, a one-loss Alabama makes the playoff. Mm. No question. Heck, they probably win the SEC. Does a 9-3 Alabama who doesn't make the SEC title game, with this schedule and with the wins I hypothetically just laid out for you, does that team make the playoff?
I believe they would.
Really?
Yeah. But now, I'll say something about your games you're talking about they're losing. They've got to go to Tuscaloosa and play Auburn. I mean, Auburn has to come to Tuscaloosa.
Right.
To play Alabama. Mm-hmm. Alabama's going to be hard to beat at Bryant
Denny.
Oh, they
will. Yeah.
Alabama's got to go to Baton Rouge and play LSU. You know, Baton Rouge has been called in the past Bryant Denny West because beyond LSU winning in Baton Rouge, Alabama's the second most team that's won in Baton Rouge.
Wow. I mean, it's like a Steelers Browns thing. Big
right.
Ben goes into Cleveland and he's like the winningest quarterback ever, right?
Right.
That is true. That is true. And you face LSU coming off a bye. If it wasn't for a bye week in the latter half of your season, Alabama would really be up the creek without the paddle, because they would have to go to Tennessee, host Missouri, and then go to LSU in uninterrupted weeks. So they get the bye week before LSU and they get Mercer between LSU and Oklahoma. The only reason I had the loss to Auburn is because, yeah, Bama's tough to beat, but Bama was tough to beat last year, yet Auburn gives them a scare to the very last second, and it was a week after Auburn just got steamrolled by New Mexico State. It's like, heck, if Auburn can beat you then, and now Saban's gone, and you got to, and Alabama has to go to Oklahoma right before, if Auburn can't beat them then, I don't know if Hugh Freeze ever will, not with the Tigers.
Well, Hugh Freeze spent 2 weeks preparing for Alabama last year. That's why he got beat.
Yeah, if he had not been looking ahead, because New Mexico State wasn't bad. What were they, a 9-win team, 8-9-win
so.
Team?
I think so.
Like, New Mexico State was not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but, man, yeah. If Auburn had somehow beaten Bama, I don't know if the Tide would have ever lived that one down. Because, nonetheless, the optics, my goodness, 31-10 to New Mexico State. But we're not going to go down that road. We could spend another hour talking about that and how much of a travesty that was for the Southeastern Conference. Either way, we'll take a quick break. It's about 10:35 here. When we return, we will talk about some of these other games to watch throughout this weekend. We may get a score prediction on Alabama-USF. Obviously, we've got Alabama. I think we've got them pretty big. But we'll touch on that and just kind of put on some of the finishing touches in this latter half of the Roll Tide radio show. You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green and tea!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Bet live with Hard Rock Bet. Real-time wagering till the very last play. Missing the kickoff doesn't mean all bets are off.
Delay a game on the guy who hasn't bet yet.
Sometimes you just know your team is going to come back. The sportsbook for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destinations. This is when adventure starts calling. And you need to be ready in jeans that are made for the unpredictable journey that we call life. Wrangler, for the ride of life. Shop our newest styles today at Wrangler.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Greeny here, and this message is for all the home improvement DIYers out there. Sherwin-Williams is running the play of the season with their September holiday sale. Get 30% off all paints and stains August 30th through September 9th. We're talking every color, folks. They still haven't made a Jets green for me, but their Shamrock Shade is pretty darn close. That's 30% off paints and stains August 30th through September 9th. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit autismpensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook, /ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
This is the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price in the studio with you, joined by Woody Waters, of course. Now, Woody, we've talked about USF. We've hyped them up as a team that, hey, they're not some joke at their own level, but they're going to Tuscaloosa. After a 63-0 win over Western Kentucky. USF gave Bama a scare last year. We don't think that's going to be the case this year. During break, we checked the spread. Bama currently minus 31. So they're favored quite heavily here. Just be real with me. Just be real with us, man. What's the score you got?
56-10.
56-10. So you've got USF not getting shut out.
All right.
You got Bama not hitting 60, but you don't have much more beyond that. You got 56-10, all right. I've got 48-14. I told you that a couple minutes ago. So we've both got Bama covering the spread with relative ease. Mine's a little bit closer. You know, the bettors are going to be sweating if my score is accurate. But you've got Bama running away with the score here. USF, you were telling me. USF and Wisconsin comes after them. They're good teams, winning teams, and especially once you get into Big Ten play on the road, physical, physical, physical. But you can't coach speed.
Nope. And that's one of the things Alabama has an abundance of right now, in my eyes.
Right.
Is tons of speed.
Well, and it was around the, early 2010s. When Oregon was really good. Oregon's good now. Well, you wouldn't have known it by how they played Idaho last week, but they're good now, allegedly. But when you looked at them in the early 2010s, that was their legacy. Speed. So much speed. They were just going to torch you offensively. And that's the problem with this Alabama team. We were talking about that Ryan Williams kid earlier. If you're just joining, Ryan Williams is 17 years old. He wasn't even born when Nick Saban had his, like, introductory press conference in Tuscaloosa. He's that much of a spring chicken, as people would say. And this kid's one of the biggest examples of the speed. And we saw it. I mean, just really kind of calling back to our offensive stats here. Milroe, of course, is a dual threat QB. He had 5 total touchdowns, 279 total yards. A lot of that was achieved on his feet. But Justice Haynes, 4 carries, and he hits a century mark on the ground? What are we doing? And then Ryan Williams, 2 touchdowns and 140 yards. That sounds like a pretty darn good game. And then you hear he caught 2 balls.
Pretty good average.
Yeah, just about. What is that? 64 and a half yards?
Per touch.
Yeah, it's something like that. Hold on. Let me make sure I got that right so I don't lay an egg here mathematically. Because I did see – or no, it was 69 and a half. I think that was it. 69 and a half yards. My goodness. I mean, it's just that's why I've been giving Bama so much credit. I'm not just saying that to take up time on air here. Western Kentucky, there's no way they're that bad. That has to be a testament to Alabama being good. Unless Western Kentucky is going to hit us with a 1-11 stunner this year, Alabama, that was a statement win for them, as about as big of a statement as you could make. USF, we're thinking it's going to be around the same because USF is around Western Kentucky's level. Hmm. Winning program right now, smaller. Alabama's faster. Man, I think we're going to see 2 blowout wins. And dare I say, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here because, of course, we do this weekly. But just first impressions, do you think Wisconsin, do you think Alabama could blow them out?
I think it's possible, yes.
I think it's possible with how Wisconsin looked pretty shaken up by the Western Michigan Broncos last weekend. I know it's first game. I get that. A lot of teams struggled. I mean, it's understandable. Heck, South Carolina, we were talking about the SEC earlier. Nobody's talking about South Carolina because they are making the conference look quite shoddy right now with that 23-19 win over the Monarchs. But it's like – so I get that teams can improve. I get that 1 week doesn't define you. But if we get that version of Wisconsin against Alabama, we're going to see blowout number 3. And that's going to have Alabama going into Georgia about as confidently as they can. So we've talked a lot about Bama. Of course, it's the Roll Tide Radio Show. But I can't lie. I got to be objective, Woody. It's not the biggest game of the week. It's far from it. Our predicted scores tell us that. But we do have some bigger games here. I meant to have the SEC games on the monitor in front of me, but I did not. So while I'm looking that up, we'll talk about some of these bigger games here. Texas at Michigan. That's got to be the biggest game. It's in the Big House, of course. Texas, obviously, playoff caliber team. Michigan, they're good. There's no way they're playoff caliber, especially after they struggled with Fresno State. What do you got in this game?
I think Texas is going to win the ball game. I don't know what that line is, but, you know, I think Texas could very well win by 10 or more.
Yeah, I think so as well. But with that being said, I've got Texas winning this game by 9. The current spread is Texas minus 7. So they've got this one being a tough game. I know Big House is a tough place to play. Texas started pretty easy. Texas is an SEC team we haven't talked about, predominantly because I forgot they were in the conference. But Texas hosts Colorado State. They hosted them last week and won 52-0, I believe. So they also put up a lot of points and shut out a Group of 5 opponent. Texas
has got a – they're going to have a good football team.
Right.
Sark has got them hitting on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I know Colorado State is nothing to gawk at. I know they're not some huge, you know, I know they're not some huge powerhouse or anything at their level, but you open the season with an FBS team, you win 52-0. There's not much more we can ask from you there. We got Baylor going to Utah. This was a matchup last year. Now, last year, Utah was an 8-win team. It was their worst season in years, but Baylor was terrible. Baylor almost won. Well, I can't even remember the final score. What was it, 20-14? It was a close game.
Yeah, it was a close game, and who's coaching Baylor now? Is it Fitz?
No, it's still Dave Aranda. He still got his job because a few years ago, he's the one who took Baylor to a Big 12 title, like 11 wins. Baylor, if the stock market were like Baylor football, the stock folks wouldn't get any rest. I mean, traders would be up all night. They're good 1 year, they're bad another. Last year was a bad year. They go to Salt Lake City. Utah's currently favored by 14.5. I've got Utah not covering that spread. I got Utah winning the game, but I got them winning by 8.
That's a tough one. They're playing at Utah. Utah's a tough football team at their home stadium.
Absolutely.
I don't know. 14.5's pretty much. That's a 3-score game.
Knocking on the door of it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I might take the under on that.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Utah, they're one of those teams, they're a very scrappy team is the way I would describe them. Because I followed Utah for Utah football for years, actually, before I was where I am today as a sports fan. And Utah, they were known for it. They have a smaller stadium, obviously. They don't have the clout of some of these SEC schools or some of the other Pac-12 schools at the time. But Utah has quickly risen as a great, great, great program. And they're known for their student section, the MUS, as it's known as. They're known for their great defense. Kyle Whittingham's one of the longest tenured coaches in college football. So that's going to be tough to beat for Baylor. I'll give them the spread, but that's about it. Iowa State goes to Iowa. Now, Iowa hit 40 points in a game, and America lost their minds.
Yeah.
Beating, I don't even remember who it was. It was someone small. Illinois State is who I think it was.
Well, the fact they scored 40 points is an eye-opener.
Right. Even against Illinois State. And I'm not joking, by the way. I'm not making fun of anybody. That's just the facts. But, yeah, they hosted Illinois State, shut them out, 40-0. Had a bit of a slow start, but as I said, who didn't last week? Iowa State had a slow start themselves, ended up only beating North Dakota 21-3. But North Dakota's a decent FCS team, or at least they have been recently, I believe. So, man, it's a rivalry game. I don't know how Iowa's going to look against them. Matt Campbell's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
The current spread is Iowa -3. What do you say to that? We're splitting hairs here.
Well, as you said, it's a rivalry. And in rivalries, anything can happen. But I don't know. I think that's a fair spread. Where are they playing?
It is in Iowa City. It's Kinnick Stadium.
It's in Iowa.
Yes, very tough place to play.
Yeah, I'd give the edge to Iowa.
I think I've got it as well because, I mean, heck, winning by 3 doesn't give us much room to work with here. So I'll take Iowa. The score I jotted down here for the other day was 27-21. That's what I got. So, okay, that's not too bad. And then we got and this is where I found this out earlier today, literally 10 minutes before we went live. I found out that I made a boo-boo in my notes here. I had Tennessee going to NC State. They don't go to NC State. They do go to North Carolina, though, the state at least. They're in Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. Tennessee and the Wolfpack. What do you got there?
Hmm.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. Well, North Carolina State is supposed to be good this year.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
but are they not in Knoxville? They're at North Carolina State?
They're in Charlotte. It's officially a neutral site game. I'm sure Tennessee's going to travel well, but so does NC State. They got a pretty loyal Wolfpack fan base there.
I tell you what, for a little bit of film I watched on Tennessee last week,
right?
I think that quarterback's going to be a – really decent quarterback, and I don't know. I would kind of – my thoughts are Tennessee's going to come out
right
with a win on that one.
Yeah, Tennessee favored by 10. I've got them covering the spread. I've got 38-24. NC State, they just scared me, man, because last week they always play down to their competition. It's something that they have a nasty habit of doing. But – man, you can't start the fourth quarter losing at home to an FCS school. What are you doing? That's ridiculous. And then lastly here, very quickly, because we're already going over time for this segment, number 19, Kansas at Illinois. Illinois is – they started 1-0, but they've been a more struggling program. Kansas just had their best season in years. The Jayhawks covering spread 4.5. What do you got?
I would think so. Illinois is coached by Bielema. Is that right?
That may be his name. I'm not too familiar with him.
Yeah, I think it's Bielema, but
Bielema, Brett Bielema, or whatever. Yeah, that guy.
I would say Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah. 4.5. I got Kansas covering as well. I've got them winning by a couple of touchdowns there. So we've got a couple of games here. We should see some good ones. I think Texas, Michigan will be competitive. Iowa and Iowa State should definitely be. Tennessee and Kansas, I see them running a bit further away with their games. And then Baylor and Utah, that's just upset alert for the Utes, I would have to say. All righty, and it seems like you and I are, for the most part, in agreement on those. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show. Coming down to the final stretch here, we got one more break. When we return, we'll look at some of those other SEC games going on, and we'll reiterate our final score predictions. I've got them jotted down here for Alabama and USF. Once again, you're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment, every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, sports fans, stay up to date with the latest news and scores right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And if there's a hurricane headed our way, don't worry, we've got you covered there too on our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620. We'll be here to keep you informed with the latest news and updates. We'll also have live coverage of evacuations and other important information. So for hurricane coverage, tune in to News Radio Pensacola. For sports, you're in the right place, ESPN Pensacola.
Hey there, Pensacola sports fans. Are you tired of boring radio shows that put you to sleep faster than a lullaby? Well, we've got the cure for your sports talk blues. Tune in to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM, where the excitement never stops. From Canty Cohen and Smallman in the morning to Amber and Fitz in the evening, we'll keep you entertained while keeping you up to date on all the sports action. So grab your popcorn, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride of laughter and sports knowledge.
ESPN Pensacola on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Tomorrow in college play, Tennessee battles North Carolina State at 6 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola,
1330 a.m., 99.1 FM.
You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Talk Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Of course, this is ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Austin Price here with you, joined by Woody Waters, of course. All right, so we were touching on some of the more prominent games from the weekend coming up here, and we were giving our thoughts on them. Just looking at the SEC, we've got Arkansas going to Oklahoma State. That's probably one of the bigger games in the Southeastern Conference outside of the couple that we've already touched on. Do you think the Razorbacks have a shot at upset glory here?
I think they have a shot now.
I don't know if they're going to hit it.
I don't know if they're going to get there, but I can tell you this. If they go to Oklahoma City and beat them, there's going to be some people take serious note of that.
Yeah.
Within the conference.
Yeah. Stillwater's a tough place to play, and that would prove that Arkansas scoring 70 on Pine Bluff actually meant something. It would prove, okay, this team's starting to make a turnaround. Texas A&M and McNeese, we've only got a few minutes here. I'm not wasting your time with that one. We'll take the Aggies. If they don't win, Mike Elko might already be in the hot seat. Georgia and Tennessee Tech, if Tennessee Tech somehow won that game, in spite of Georgia's 54.5-point spread, I think I would be dying of laughter this time next week. Cal at Auburn, ACC-SEC matchup. Auburn favored by 13. What do you got?
That's interesting. It being at Auburn, I would lean Auburn. Auburn's tough,
right,
at their place.
Yeah. Jordan Hare can be a pain. And Cal, they were a middle-of-the-road team last year playing weaker competition. They're going to be coming out. They're going to be playing in a weaker conference this year. Going to Auburn, no, I can definitely see why, just physically and just the scenery, why Auburn would have that one. They're favored by 13. I could see that. I'll say that Cal covers, but I'll say Auburn's got it by about 10. South Carolina at Kentucky, so SEC versus SEC action here. Kentucky favored by 8.5. It is in Lexington. So what do you got? You think the Wildcats take care of business here?
I think Kentucky will cover.
Yeah.
On that one.
Yeah, Kentucky, Mark's, they've struggled a bit more these past couple years, 7-6, not really ideal. But they're hosting South Carolina, and you want to talk about a team that has struggled. South Carolina has struggled, so I'll take Kentucky. Ole Miss hosts Middle Tennessee.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss favored by 43. I don't know if they'll cover that, but that's fine. We'll take them there. Missouri and Buffalo, obviously we'll take Missouri. Florida and Samford, I can't believe I'm asking. Do we have a tough game on our hands here?
I surely hope not, because if we do, I don't know that Napier will survive.
Yeah, LSU hosting Nicholls. Obviously, we got LSU. Vanderbilt versus Alcorn State. This would have been a toughie last year, but Vandy beat Va Tech, so good for them.
I go Vandy.
Oklahoma and Houston.
Oklahoma.